Okay, so page 27, chapter 65. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 11 in Krishna Sandarbha Anucheda 177. The cause of the gopis attaining Krishna in both prakat and aprakat pastimes is their bhava. Having entered the aprakat pastimes, they attained the sarup. Right, so what we're seeing here is they're in the prakat pastimes. That's what we're seeing. That's what's being described. Prakat means the manifest ones that we can see.
As of now, Krishna is unmanifest, aprakat, you know, to the gopis.
Yes, but so it says here they attained that. They entered.
They entered the aprakat pastime.
It's just like you're here, and you're in the prakat. So, at this point, nothing specifically manifest, right? Then they're so absorbed in Krishna that, being that absorbed, they enter into the aprakat and then they're interacting with Krishna. Does that make sense? But because they're in the prakat, then they'll think that that was just a meditation. When it's actually there with Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Maharaj. Then.
Yes.
This is Goswami's of Vrindavan. The Shri Goswami's of Vrindavan.
Yes.
They sing in the Guru in the Shri Goswami Ashtakam. Hey Radhe Vrajadevi ke Charit. Like they're finding out, you know, Krishna Lilita Vishaka, where are you? So basically what they're speaking is of the uppercut pastimes of the Lord. But at the same time we find in different
He's not catching here. Aprakat means the pastimes are always going on, but you can't see them. When it makes it so that you can see them.
Okay, that's from the point of view of the Nityabaddha.
Yes.
Okay, aprakat.
So, therefore, they're part of the prakat pastimes, right? And so, then in their meditation, they're absorbed in the aprakat. And they have entered those because of this bhava. So, they attain Krishna in the prakat when he's there because of their bhava. They attain him in the aprakat because of his bhava. Right?
Somewhat.
Hmm?
Kind of.
Kind of makes sense. Yeah, so then we'll continue here. Maybe it'll make more sense.
When we deal with Bhagavatam and hear about the pastimes, we actually, for us, that's uppercut.
Yes, at this point it would be. But because these are always going on. But the point is they attain to that. Like we're saying, the Goswamis are there. They're running around trying to find them. They never find them there in that manifest, but they enter, you know, into the aprakat. And there then they may see. But it'll be in a meditation.
So that's our goal as such.
Our goal is to develop that love.
Yeah.
It's not to get to someplace specific.
But we will always meditate on the aprakat because.
We'll always meditate on the pastimes of the Lord. Whether they're that they're written so that we can see them, that means they're prakat. And so we're meditating on those. They may happen to be aprakat now for us, but they're always going on because there's no difference in the two. Right? It's not, it's a different thing because Goswami is just writing what's manifest. Means what they're being involved in, right? Does that make sense? Because the point is they're there, so it doesn't matter whether you want to define whether it's prakat, aprakat, this, that, or you know. And we're not even going to get into the argument about the difference between, I just say the aprakat and the peach or stuff like that. That was like a two hour argument in the Gurukul one day. What's an aprakat? What's a peach?
So we can conclude that aprakat is always in meditation. Because that's what
No, because the people that are in that pastime, that's not a meditation.
That's, yeah. For them it is prakata. But for us, when we enter into aprakata, that's meditation.
From here?
Yeah, from here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I'm what's the confusion?
Confusion is about whether uppercut is meditation or is it happening in meditation or is it happening in actuality?
It's both. It just depends who you are. It means Krishna and his associates performing their pastimes, they're actually there. They're not there by meditation. It's not that they're in the, Mahakalapura, and they're meditating upon this pastime, and so therefore then they're there in that pastime. And now we, as sadhakas, we're not there in the pastime. So we may be there by meditation. But this is one of those ones when you get there, it will make sense. It's like the 8-year-old girl wondering what dress she's going to wear on her wedding. When she gets there, then it will become obvious. You understand? So when you get to the platform of bhava, where your surup is manifest, then you can worry about, am I here by meditation? Am I here, then you can worry about it.
So can we say then a devotee enters the uppercut of pastimes only by the will of the Lord?
You only understand anything or can do anything by the will of the Lord. So it's not that that's specifically special. It means that you can pick up, the food and get it in your mouth. That's by the will of the Lord. Because you see, kids can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So everything's by the will of the Lord. So we're not trying to separate it off and make it into something mystic and different. And, oh, yeah, we just meditate on this apricot. We don't meditate on the apricot. You know, that's for the... You know what I'm saying? We don't do these things. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of... All it's saying is the apricot, apricot. Because we already saw before that it explained when Krishna was sending off Nanda Baba in Mathura that he both stayed there and he went with them.
Yes.
So him staying there and them going back with him staying in Mathura, that's the prakat pastimes.
Yes.
Him going back with them and engaging in his lila there, that's the apricot. So they're both going on at once. And the same people are in both.
Yes.
So the point is they attain both by that way. So they're in the prakat where he's not present, but at the same time, by their absorption in Krishna, then they are entering into the prakat. Like that. So when we try to get too much the time and space and the ritual and this, then that's the point, is that this is the point at which knowledge won't help you. Right? This is knowledge. But that the logic and all, it won't help at this point. So that has to, it's not even just being able to enter in that's the Lord's will. To be able to even understand this is the Lord's will. Because both are going on at once. That's why Achinta Veda Veda Tattva is very important. You will not find Sri Vaishnav sitting around and discussing this point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you have to rely on our philosophy, which means they can both go on at once. We're sadhakas, we worry about what's important for us. Just like someone who's in the hospital, he worries about his own diet, his own regime during the day. He doesn't worry about other people's. Because it won't benefit him. You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy does 100 push-ups and 100, sit-ups. Was that going to help the guy in the Minerva cast? No. You know, if he can wiggle his fingers or toes, he's doing great. You know? Hey, I can blink my eyes, like that. So, that's it. So, we do what we worry about. So, the point is about their bhava. It's through that love for Krishna that all things are obtained. Not, well, how did they attain it here? Did they go down here? Did they have to push this button? If they pushed it, did it have a thumbprint thing on it when they pushed it? Or was it a retina scan? No, we don't get into all that.
So then the Nitya Siddhas, they never make a distinction between the Prakata and the Aprakata.
No.
Okay.
That's the whole point. They don't make a distinction between Gokul and Goloka. They don't make a distinction there. They're the same place, slightly different flavors, so you can tell the difference, but it's the same place, whether it's manifest or not. It's just like, it should be like this. We're having this class here, right? That wall is there, right? So far as they're going on the road, that's apricot. Now, if we took down, now the laborers come, and then they're doing work on the fence, so it's not there, it's prakat. So do you make a distinction?
Yes. You don't go.
Yeah. You understand? That's what's going on. It's either Krishna allows you to see or not. So in either case, both are by Krishna's mercy. It's not, you're not seeing these just because you want to, and I'm intelligent, and I got, you know, really good intelligence, and, you know, I got 173 on the IQ thing. None of those will get you that. It's just, but through the grace of Krishna and his devotees, then these things are understood. So we don't have to make so much distinction. We're only bringing this out just as a aspect of flavor of how they're doing. Krishna Sandarbha, that'll be, you know, describing, how you say? You know, the qualities of Krishna and the glories of Krishna and all these things connected to Krishna. And so it's just pointing out that in this situation, then they're able to obtain to this position by their bhava. So whichever it is. Some examples? Yeah. Yes.
Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one pastime shows this very clearly. When Sachi Mata, she was meditating on Lord Chaitanya in separation. And Lord Chaitanya comes and she offers bhoga to Lord and he takes.
Yes.
And she feels that she has not offered. And again she washes the plate, again offers. Like it's a switch between prakrit and aprakrit.
Yeah, like that. Because that's the whole point, is that what we're seeing with Uddhava, he comes in, what he's seeing of the situation is the aprakrit. But when he's interacting in the prakrit. So they both have their flavors. And so depending upon the Lord's will, then whichever is the one that's... Yes.
For Sri, because they don't have the Jukalamba aspect.
No.
So it means they don't have apricot views?
Means they would probably use the term, or they may use that or another term, meaning that you have... the Lord comes down and performs his pastimes and then he goes back. But I don't think necessarily whether they have the concept that they're all going on at the same time.
No, this concept they don't have.
Yeah, because it's not necessary for them. That it's not necessary. Does that make sense? Because the point is in the Vaikuntha mood, then is your servant. And so you follow the things. It has that aspect of Maryada, following the rules and all that. Because it's an extension of Dwarka. But it's only him as God. There's no him as, you know, just one of the locals there. Right? So, therefore then, you know, he sleeps at night. They go to sleep at night. It's the ritual. Then they get up in the morning. They go to see him in the morning. And all these different, they perform their services during the day. So for them, this is eternally going on. Sometimes he goes. Like, they'll have that situation where, let's say, like, for Draupadi, you know, he goes to provide the cloth. That means he'll leave wherever's the prakat play and go there. So there is times when he does go out from Vaikuntha. You know, so there'll be some aspect of, you know, that separation from the Lord. But it's not, how do I say, it's not brought out as a major feature. It's not the standard. The standard would be he's there, sometimes he goes. And so, naturally, by that, it'll make when he's there more wonderful. So it's always going to work like that. But the point is that it's not an emphasis, so it's not something that's appreciated as a strong point. It's that he's gone for some works, it's obvious what he's doing, so he needs to do that. But here he's just gone to Mathura and didn't come back. You know, why does he need to do that? Because it's a matter of the aspect of his taste. Exactly. So, yeah. So it's already at such a perfection that just unless it goes, then only the separation will bring that up more. And for them, because it's absolute, then they're both the same. So they don't have any problems. They're not in anxiety, because they don't have an attachment to either enjoying or to liberation. So therefore, then they have no problem with this concept of separation. While we want to enjoy, and we want to get away from painful situations. So for us, Vipalamba is painful, and we want that to go away so we can enjoy. So that's why we may, you know, have comments.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he makes that point that according to the adhikara of the devotee, they can see Golok within Gokul, or they can be attracted to Prakat or Aprakat or Sambhog and Vipalamba. It all depends on the level of the development of this, you know, certain sadhaka.
Okay.
But then otherwise they're confused.
Yeah. So that's why we just what we're trying to appreciate here is the gopi's position, and then we're just happy with that. Because if we overanalyze, the problems start. You know? Is that they say? So that's our point, is that these are elements where we don't overanalyze. Like one devotee said, you know, he'll go to Radhakund, and Prabhupada said, what will you do there? He says, I'll preach. Prabhupada says, no, you go there to taste. You don't go there to preach. And so one has to know is what's in what situation like that. Then it works much easier. Otherwise, if we try to analyze too much, then it won't work. It's not that we don't try to understand, but its point is we have to follow in this. It's not that logic will explain it. That's the thing. It's like you're saying. Because there's such all these are all one thing, but with different flavors, then which one is manifest to which individual, then, like you said, it'll get confusing.
Yeah. Well, another confusing point is that our main scripture, it's all about Prakat. You know, the Bhagavatam is Prakat, is Bhoma Lila, basically.
Yeah.
But then when we read, you know, some details taken by the Acharyas from Aprakat, then we don't know where do we fit it, you know.
They're the same thing. It would be like this. How much can be spoken in 7 days?
So much.
Right? But you still have 9 cantos to also express, so that you can appreciate the 10th.
Yeah.
So, and how much unlimited are these pastimes? Right? So, then they will, major points and all that will be taken. Just like if we just read the Krishna book straight and don't discuss these things, don't bring anything up, just start reading, then it'll go by very smoothly and no one will bring up anything. It's whatever kind of you catch from it, you catch, and what you don't. Because we're trying to, you know, bring out the points here and the acharyas are bringing. Then we get into these things. So what's there is that's what's been discussed, what's been revealed by Sukadeva Goswami. Point is he's one of the persons who's there. So he could get into all kinds of detail.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, because of the time frame and because of who's there. Right? Now when they reveal more, it's because they're there. So whether they're describing what went on in a Prakat Leela that they were there in or an Aprakat Leela that they were there in, it doesn't really matter because they're the same Leela. It's not that it's something different. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's not that, what do you call it? In the Picat, we drive the Ford Siesta, and then in the Apricot, we drive the Ferrari. You know, it's like, no, it's the same.
Ford Siesta.
Yeah. So they're the same thing. It's just that they're filling out details of something that was there. Either they're explaining what's happening in the way of rasa that's there, or they're bringing out something in between because they said this line, so what was in between? What was it? How did Balaram respond? What was the mood? So therefore, this is what they said. So that's why he fills in these conversations. like that, because you just have to say the major things. You won't get down into exact detail of that, because generally that level of detail, that's called an upakyan. Right? Means a purana means you give a general explanation according to the questions in the audience. Then a itihas will be on a particular individual and much more detailed. Like you see, in the Purana, then the explanation of the Pandavas is not so much, or the explanation of Ramachandra. It's the major aspects. So it's complete. But then you see in the Ramayana or Mahabharata, which are itihas, then so much more detail. Now, this kind of detail they're giving here of these conversations, the finer points and little things like that, that's called upakyan. So all they're doing is revealing that aspect. It's the same pastime. It's just how much detail it goes into. Sorry? Upakyan.
Upakyan.
I think there's 90 upakyans for that are connected with the Puranas. Like that. And Shastra-wise, and there's 2 itihas. You know, that Vyasadeva, even like that, they've been put together.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, like just say Prabhupada Lilamrita, that's an itihas on Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that. You know, and then you have, sometimes they put together books on the Acharyas, you know, the seventh Goswami, or, you know, this, like this. Then those are on one person bringing out detail. That's what they are. Does that make sense? So this is just finer detail. So it's one pastime. Because whether you see it or not, it's just a matter of whether you're qualified or not. So there's a certain time when they just allow everyone to see it. But it's the same pastime. It's not that it's something different. You know, it's not like, what do you call it, the one where the cows are walking around in the pasture on their back legs and all that. And then one of them announces, there's a car coming. Okay, everyone down on 4 legs. You know, you know. And then after the car goes by, then they're back out walking. Yeah, you don't have that.
Yeah. No, it's like, as you said, that both things are simultaneous and it may be revealed to us or not. Like in Jiva Goswami, in Krishna Sandarbha, he shows how the aspect of Krishna being Swayam Bhagavan, he brings out, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam, but generally it is not seen. Then he brings out different verses to show it's like very explicitly.
Yes.
Similarly, I didn't go through Bhakti and Preeti Sandarbha, but there it might be very obvious that...
Well, it'll bring out different aspects, because the Krishna will be part of the Sambandha books. Then Bhakti will be the Abhideya, Preeti will be the Prayojana. So it's just a matter of what it's bringing out. What flavors or what knowledge like this.
So it's there in the Bhagavatam itself?
It's all there. That's the point. Bhagavatam is the complete literature. It is, and the more you go into it, the more you can taste. So we see as Jiva Goswami, that's why he took the first verse and did a commentary where he broke the verse down into syllables and showed the full pastimes of Krishna in that first verse. So it's, everything's there. It's just a matter of what's revealed. Is that, yeah, because it said, like you see here, it just says, one gopi said this, you know, to Uddhava, the other gopi said that, and another one. But then the acharyas are saying, this one is this gopi, this one is that gopi, because they know the moods. So they can say, this one always asks this kind of question, that one asks that question. Like that. So that's all. They're just pointing out the detail of what's there. Yes. So good. They were determined to stop Krishna from going, giving up all shame. They gave up shame because of the appearance of their bhava. And since all people of Gokula were crying at the time, and since all the people of Gokula were crying at the time, right? So if everybody else was cool, then they can't be like that. But everybody is crying. So everybody is lamenting. So then if they go forward and do this, it'll match within it, and no one will complain. Giving up their household chores. Oh, they thought they could stop him by crying together in front of him. Giving up their household chores shows clearly the appearance of their bhava. More than that, they gave up their parents and relatives. So we see is that for the Rasa dance, they left everyone to go. Then when Krishna's leaving, then they also do that. Right? Yeah. This was not just the first stirring of love, Purva Rag, as expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:31:16. Their laughing indicates a condition of madness, unmada, since it was not suitable to laugh at that time. Looking at the bee also is a sign of madness. The unlimited number of gopis, acting insanely, giving up shame and giving up parents, could not hide their bhava, because it was uncontrollable mahabhav. Though this became known, it remained as if unknown by everyone because of everyone's great pain of separation from Krishna. So even though everybody's seeing this, it won't really register in the other rasas, because they're just absorbed in this. So they're lamenting, the gopis are lamenting, and just all it is the mood that everybody's missing Krishna. So they won't think of the detail of this. So that's how Yoga Maya works. If everybody's getting same pastime, everyone's getting different flavors and tastes according to their adhikar. So the same thing, the same situation. So many things are going on. Krishna, he's expert at accomplishing many things in one way. Does that make sense? Yeah. They thought about this only later. By hiding their bhava for some time, they could enjoy. And when it was finally revealed, it appeared dharmic in actuality for them and others. This is the opinion of the knowers of rasa. So no one thought it was wrong that they were doing this, because everybody's feeling separation from Krishna, because that's what grudge is about. So that aspect of being attached to Krishna, that is the grudge of dharma. So that they're following that dharma in this situation didn't mean anything. So they gave up everything to be involved in that. Right? And we can say, oh, but that's natural. But we see is also around the edges of Vrindavan that the husbands of the yagyik Brahmins, I was going to say, the husbands of the wives of the yagyik Brahmins. But... because they're the main ones, but the point is the yagyik Brahmins, they out of consideration what Kamsa and his spies, all this would think, so they didn't go to see Krishna. So that's the point, they gave that up. So that's the, because the others, the cowherd boys stand there, it's not a problem. The parents stand there, it's not a problem. The servants stand there, it's not a problem. They go and stand there, technically if it wasn't this situation, it would be a problem. But because it's separation from Krishna, that's Braj Bhav. So therefore, because of this, it's not seen as a problem. Right? It won't, no one will perceive it that way. Because everyone's absorbed in this lamentation. Right? And then after it then they go back to doing their whatever it is that they're doing. The gopis continued. How can intelligent city women possibly trust the words of one whose heart is so unsteady and who is so ungrateful? They must believe him because he speaks so wonderfully, and also because his beautiful smiling glances arouse their lust. Right, so you see they go back in this one sentence, they go from, you know, how can you trust him, by how can you not? You know, we saw before, but the other way. You know, the trusting, but then how can, like this. So just, this is Santra. Why bother talking about him, dear Gopi? Please talk of something else. If he passes his time without us, then we shall similarly pass ours without him. Like that. It's just the BBT purport mentions. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that the gopis here subtly indicate that Lord Krishna spends his time happily without them, whereas they are most unhappy without their Lord. This is the difference between him and them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti adds the following commentary. Considering themselves different from other women, the gopis thought as follows. If other women are together with their lovers, they live, and if they are separated, they die. But we neither live nor die. This is the fate of providence has written on our foreheads. What remedy can we find? So then, yeah. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. While speaking these words, the young cowherd women remembered Lord Sauri's laughter, his pleasing conversations with him, his attractive glances, his style of walking, and his lovely, loving embraces. Thus they began to cry. So they become absorbed. So in any case, the separation, then they remember, and then remember, then they get absorbed there, then across. So it's just a ocean of rasa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. After piercing the gopis' hearts with the five arrows of a sweet smile, sweet talks, sweet glance, his stance in walking, and his embrace, right? Because that's what they mentioned here. Okay? Yeah. Krishna had disappeared on them. Now should they perhaps just die? Completely distressed, they begin to cry right in front of Baladev. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, right? Because normally they wouldn't cry in front of Baladev. They'd leave, go somewhere else. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. The Supreme Lord Balaram, the attractor of all, being expert at various kinds of conciliation, consoled the gopis by relaying to them the confidential messages Lord Krishna had sent with him. These messages deeply touched the gopis' hearts. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, it should be understood that Krishna sent Baladev and Uddhava with messages because they were both his friends. Without consideration of their other sentiments of servitude, Uddhava and parental love, Baladev. Right, so it's because of the friends, so the confidential friend, because a confidential friend can be involved in these aspects. Because otherwise, the servitude, then only up to a particular point. They may perform activities, but they can't go beyond that. And then the parental, then you also are restricted on what you deal with. Right? Krishna sent many messages, not one. Some were philosophical, some were apologetic and sweet, and some were dignified. These messages were heartfelt, Hridayam Gamahi, which could not be revealed publicly because of their confidential nature. Balaram showed his boldness by saying, dear gopis, I will go to Dwarka and bring him here, even by force, because he's seeing how they're suffering and their affection. So wanting to see to the Krishna interacting with the gopis, he'll be the most happy. So by going to Dwarka and bringing him to Vrindavan, actually Krishna will be very happy. But the problem is he couldn't leave, and he has pastimes to perform. Right? Because one of the reasons he comes is to establish dharma, to remove the demons, to attract others to him. So all these aspects are there, because for us, the Braja pastimes are more prominent. And for others, then the Dwarka will be more prominent. And for some, then they'll appreciate both.
How many times did Krishna send messages to the Gopis?
Well, here we have Uddhava and Baladev. That's what we get. Mm-hmm. It hasn't mentioned something else. I am not completely dependent on him like Uddhava, right? Because Uddhava being a servant, so he being the more having that touch of the parental also, then he in one sense can act independently from Krishna. If he says, no, you're going to Vrindavan, he could take him there, right? In this way, he was expert in conciliation. Nana Nunaya Kovida. So by saying these things, then they'll feel better and all these things. So he's not just saying it just to say it. He's saying it's because this is the rasa that's going on and all that. But at the same time, is then he can't come because he has things to do there. And at the same time, he hasn't left. Right? So he's there in this mood of bhava, that thinking of him, they're always associating with him. But as we mentioned, that it will still produce separation because his original form's not there. Like that. Though they're meditating on his original form, though he's not. Is that? Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami adds, Balaram was completely capable, Bhagavan, to console them by means of Krishna's messages. As his elder brother, Sankarshanaha, he was the object of respect. He was learned in methods of conciliation using various techniques. Since Krishna attracts everyone's heart by his nature, why should his messages not attract their hearts? Right, because if it's heartfelt, like it said, then it is expressing his nature. And since he's all attractive, why wouldn't the messages be attractive? He consoled them with Krishna's messages because they entered into those messages which melted their hearts. Sukadev explains that by absorption in ocean of affection for him, they then began crying. From the evening of killing of Janakasura till they went to Kurukshetra, they are described as being dedicated to Krishna alone. Krishna himself describes a great anurag for him alone. Ramena Sharadam Maturam Pranite Swapalkina Ma Yanu Rakta Chita Vigata Bhavena Name Viyoga Ti Vradhayo Yam Dadrishu Sukhaya. The residents of Vrindavan, headed by the gopis, were always completely attached to me with deepest love. Therefore, when my uncle Akura brought my brother Balaram and me to the city of Mathura, the residents of Vrindavan suffered extreme mental distress because of separation from me and could not find any other source of happiness. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:12-10. It should be understood, therefore, that the gopis mentioned in the next verse are different from the ones just described. According to Sridhar Swami, Balaram first consoled them with scriptural teachings. Then he praised them to remove their despondency. Then he described Krishna's mercy directed to them. Then he described with regret various events which delayed Krishna from returning. Then he promised to bring Krishna back with a believable oath. Then he frightened them by saying that Krishna, who held them dear than a million of his lives, would suffer intense grief on hearing of their crying. So all these different things from different angles that he's doing, because one may work for them, but you have to, he's going to have, this conciliation has to be working on a longer period. So all the different moods that are there, then they can remember Krishna and how he cared about Krishna and how Balaram was helping, right? Vishnu Purana describes his heart-rending message. Sam deshahi, sama madhurahi, prema garbhair agar vitahi, ramena svasita gopya krishnasya ti mano harahi. Balaram pleased the gopis with Krishna's sweet, consoling, attractive messages, filled with prema and devoid of pride. Right, because if there's a difficult situation, you can't use pride. That's just the way it works. Mm-hmm. You have to use whatever mood matches with what's going on from the different things. You know, the philosophy, the praise, all these different things, these are all there. But there can't be pride in it. So they're thinking, yeah, I know how to do this, then it won't work. That's just how it works. So whatever is the situation... like that, whether it's, you know, in this case then separation, but then you also see is then that element of being upset, all these different things that are there. It's only whatever's presented has to be done without pride. That's the whole point. So the thing of Amani and Amana Dana, it works for getting you to the spiritual platform, but because all the activities that are of the spiritual platform includes the ones of the material platform, it means the material platform also will only work by this method. If you're not humble, tolerant, respecting others and not looking for respect for yourself, you materially can't maintain any steadiness. It's just how it works, because it's a reflection, it's the same thing. Right? If in real life you have to bend down to pick something up, in the mirror you also have to bend down to pick it up. It's just the way it works. So that's the point, is if you are following bhakti, you already get the benefits of the material. It's not a separate endeavor. It's not two different things. Does that make sense? No. It's just that the spiritual means it's the primary and secondary connected, and material means it's just the secondary without the primary. But the point is the activity is the same. But because of the quality of the in connection with the primary, that's what makes the difference between it being gold and not iron. Right? Yes.
Well, can we say that this poor principle, humility to the highest respect, is the main thing to attract Krishna?
It's the main thing to attract Krishna. You can say it's the essence of etiquette.
Yes.
Like that. It means everything goes back to that. Then you would say further descriptions and broadening of it will be bringing out more detail of that. Yes. You know, it's just like we say tolerance, but you can only be tolerant if you're forgiving.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's not, so then to be forgiving, and talk, then you have to have patience. That means then there must be purity, there must be knowledge. There must, so many things have to be there. So you see, it's all the different qualities that are there go back to these. And these go back to Krishna's, as, you know, that dependency on Krishna. Because it's all about being absorbed in Krishna. So.
In this particular point of humility, is there any space for self-respect? Because even devotees say...
Self-respect?
Yeah, devotees say that we should maintain our self-respect as well as we should be humble. So then...
What's the problem in that?
The problem is that sometimes maintaining self-respect, one may not be humble.
Yeah, but that's called pride. You know, when you maintain self-respect and are humble, that's pridelessness. Because there's this idea, unless I'm the center of the universe, I can't have dignity. And if I give that up, only then I can be humble. But that's working on, we're taking humility as the mode of ignorance. Oh, I'm so useless, I'm so disgusting, I can't do anything, I'm so, you know, like this. Does that make sense? But that's not humility. That's just negative pride. That's all it is. Humility is I'm the soul, I'm not the body, I'm servant of Krishna. Therefore I should be involved in things that are Krishna, and that it goes nicely is because of Guru and Krishna. It's not because of me. Because they're in control of everything. So therefore I won't become proud by being involved in activities, and I can maintain humility. So you see is that the dignity remains. So what we call humility generally means the mode of ignorance, that we're identifying with the body and nothing's working, so therefore we come to the conclusion I'm not the best. Mm. And so then that moment we call humility.
Mm.
But that's not actually humility.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the problem, is somebody's in anxiety, that proud person's anxiety, and nothing's working in that, you try to encourage them. But when you get them encouraged again, immediately the pride comes out. So it's kind of like, why bother? You know, problem is they wallow long enough, who knows what they'll do. So, yeah. Yeah.
One thing, what did you mention, that the difference between genuine humility and low self-esteem is that one is a spiritual alankar, it's a spiritual opulence,
yes.
And the other is a psychological disease.
Yeah, it's a defect, huh? Oh, he said. Yeah, because that's the point, is that we generally take a low self-esteem, that's humility. I'm useless. No, it's that Krishna's the one, so we're not doing. So without being connected to him, yes, we're useless, but connecting to him, then, you know, everything will work out how he wants. So if he wants it to go nice or not, that's why you see in, what is it, I think Markine Bhagavat Dharma, I think in there Prabhupada talks about, then, you know, you're the one that controls everything, so therefore you make me dance as you please. So that's humility. Not, I'm so useless and stupid, and, you know.
That is what people want to see, though.
That's what they want to see, but that's the point, is because it's political, and that because then that makes them in control, and therefore then if they're in control, they could enjoy, because you can't enjoy unless you're in control. So it's purely mundane. It's not. So Arjuna on the battlefield, in the beginning, that's with pride, but when he actually fought after hearing the Gita, that was in humility. So that's the thing, is we take it by the external symptoms, but actually humility is an attitude. It's an understanding. Like that. And it's not, you know, a situation. Sense. Like that. So it's just a difference on whether we're seeing things from the platform of goodness or pure goodness, or we're seeing it from ignorance. So when I can't do anything, therefore I'm useless, so I'm humble. But the mode of goodness is, this is what I'm supposed to do. But actually, even that, if I understand it, that's being carried out by the modes of nature, which are under Krishna's control. So I can only do as Krishna wills. So therefore, since I'm going to be taking part in Krishna's will anyway, why not take part in a way that's favorable to him as a person rather than simply him as the controller of the material energy and the cause and effect of, you know, karma? Is that makes sense? Yeah. So it's just a different approach to the attitude. If that's appreciated, then it would change the whole way we would approach things. Because this whole idea that the guy's got to get up and publicly announce in front of everybody how terrible and disgusting he is and then pull out a gun and shoot himself, then they'll consider, okay, no, he's not. That was good, you know. Now he'll go down in the good books, right? But he's dead, but, you know. Yeah. So that's... how we have to remember is that that's taking whatever they want to, you know, they expect in you know, farther west, you know, to an extreme level. But we also have to remember is that the Orient is the farthest west. We call it far east, but actually it's far west. And, you know, you say, does that make sense? No? Doesn't make sense? Prabhupada said Bengal is east, and the farther west you go, the more degraded it becomes.
Oh, okay.
So the far east is actually the farthest west, right? And America is the Midwest. That is so funny. Because generally when you think of Midwest, you think they're all a bunch of hicks, right? You know, a bunch of bumpkins, you know. So that means America, they're bumpkins like that. Then you have Europe, which will be, how you say, your western part of East.
Middle East.
Nearly.
Yeah, no, Middle East, and then that's western of East. Or it's the eastern part of the Midwest. But,
They consider
yes, of course. But you also have a difference just between what was a former East Bloc. They'll consider themselves different from Western Europe. They'll consider Western Europe, and they're the middle of Europe. And then, you know, the Urals, that's the East Europe. So. Yeah, because it's like, you know, technically, it's like, you know, those states there are there, you know, Poland, Czech, they're the center of Europe, technically.
They're always considered middle of the Europe.
Yeah, but it's in modern that you don't think of it like that. You know? But actually, they're the center of Europe. So you have all these funny things you can have fun with, right? Completely turn people on their heads, right? Yes.
Come on. To develop the genuine and authentic humility, we need to be fixed in our relationship with Krishna.
Yes. That's why then the third verse, the Shikshastakam, relates to Nishta. Yes. Right? The second verse to Anartha Nivriti. Yes. Right? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that's what's coming there. Then nadanam najanam nasundari. Yeah. Then that's where taste comes out, yeah. And then ayananda natan. Then that's attachment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like that. We'll get into that. There'll be a full study of that. Last chapter of the third year of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hmm? Stay tuned. Yeah.
We need to be prepared.
Yeah. So if we think that this is, you know, over our heads, wait till we get there. Right?
Maharaj?
Yes.
So, not looking for respect for oneself means not looking to be acknowledged as...
Yeah, means for what one is able to do, what one is qualified to do, you're not looking for respect for that.
But if humility is... not thinking that you're the body and that Krishna's in control and making everything happen, then not looking for respect for yourself is not looking for acknowledgement of your things that you do, like,
yes,
something.
Yeah, because it's the if any good is coming out of it, it's because of Krishna's grace.
Okay.
So if somebody gives you a compliment, you can say that's you can say because of Krishna.
No, you can just say thank you. Don't get too involved. Don't get too make it into a head trip.
But in your inside, you should be like, oh. It's
you understand it. That's. It's they're complimenting Krishna and the Vaishnavas because it's by their grace you can do it. So naturally, it's not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. These sweet words of consolation, Sama, were praises of the gopis. He gave praises such as, I cannot repay your debt. He gave consolation such as, I will quickly return. He spoke words of prema such as, but the actual reason why I, the beloved object of your sight, have stayed far away from you is that I wanted to intensify your meditation upon me and thus draw your minds closer to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-34. So he's already mentioned that before, and why he does that. He spoke prideless words such as, therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32-22. Lastly, the words are most attractive because they indicated that Krishna was eternally united with them in his special manifestation. Right? So, in other words, in his Bhav Sarup, he's there with them and united with them, so they're always with them. That's why when they're absorbed in Krishna, they're in so much transcendental ecstasy. Right, because the qualities being manifested here are qualities of Mahabhava. Because they're absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna is reciprocating that. But as we said, even though it is Krishna, it will still have the flavor of separation.
Maharaj, when Krishna says, let your glorious deeds be your compensation, is any kind of encouraging a little bit their pride, like when they say, oh, we're so fortunate for...
But he already left, so that's not happening.
Okay. But he says that a few times.
Because that is. Bhakti is greater than him. It controls him. So he's just pointing that out.
Yeah.
See, these are a matter of taste, not a matter of logic. So if we try to legally deal with it, it won't work out. The point is that the absorption it means you perform bhakti and the result you get is bhakti. So we should be comfortable with that. You know, you're not going to get something else. So. Lastly, the words were most attractive because they indicated that Krishna was eternally united with them in his special manifestation. Sankarshan then consoled them because that means he's always with them. So then they'll that, because we see with Uddhava, as the first thing he pointed out is that we I'm all pervading, so I'm always with you. Yes. So that way they can see Krishna in everything. Yes. Right? So they have that. But at the same time, it still gives the feeling of separation. But the point is, you're with Krishna. Because if you look at it, if we want to be logical by time and space, since Krishna is everything, how can you not be with Krishna? Mm-hmm. But the point is that his original form is manifest according to the situation that's there, so that may not be appreciated. Appreciated means not seen. So therefore, it's separation. Sankarshan then consoled them by attracting Krishna with his mind, Karshana, and gave some of them realization of Krishna's presence. Right? He consoled them completely. Thus, it was suitable that he would then have pastimes with his own gopis, as is described next. Right? So that's what it meant by these gopis are different from the... different. Should be understood that the gopis mentioned in the next verse are different from the ones just described. In other words, what's been described are Krishna's gopis. Yes. So it's not that he doesn't go and he'll have to spend time and say all basically similar things to his own gopis. But it is different. So since he's already said it here, you know what kind of things he has to say there. Right? verses 17 to 24, Lord Balaram enjoys Rasa Lila. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Balaram, the personality of Godhead, resided there for the 2 months of Madhu and Madhava, and during the nights, he gave his cowherd girlfriends conjugal pleasure. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. According to the principle enunciated by the word taha in the previous verse, those gopis were dedicated to Krishna alone. The gopis mentioned in the present verse were other gopis dedicated only to Balaram. Right? It's important to note that they're not the same gopis. Right? Words which indicate general qualities should be explained according to context. For instance, if one says brahmanas should be respected, this applies to all brahmanas. But if one says the brahmanas should be hidden, this would apply to Brahmins in a certain situation and not to all Brahmins or other Brahmins. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, if the situation is not proper, people aren't dealing proper, then the Brahmins should be hidden. They stay out of the way so that no one sees them. And then if people are dealing properly and respectful, then they could be there and be respected. Does that make sense? So in other words, they all will be respected, so therefore if the situation is such that they will be respected, then they're respected. And if it's a matter of they wouldn't be respected, then they remain hidden. So,
what does it mean, remain hidden?
Means you don't see them. Here, what we mean is that they wouldn't be prominent coming forward and, you know, things like that. They would just stand, it's just like this. Let's say everybody walks out the Panchatattva door. Mm-hmm. They don't walk out that door. They walk out the one behind Radha Madhava.
Oh, okay.
Like that. They just stay out of the way. They don't say anything. Let's say someone's talking and they know what to say. People, they say, well, what about this? Well, I don't know. And this, and they speculate. He could say something and resolve it. But if they're not going to respect him for what he said, better he says nothing. Not that, no, but the truth must be said. No. Yeah. It's only if they're going to accept it, should it be spoken.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's remaining hidden. Similarly, a word with various meanings should take the meaning most suitable to the circumstance. Right? So that's what you have to see, is that's what we were seeing before, that the problem in all these different philosophies, they take the word that's suitable for them, and even though the situation is not suitable, they'll still try to force the meaning in that way. They won't use the natural meaning. If one says, bring the Saindhava, normally this would mean bring the salt instead of bring the king of Sindhu. Right? So if you're at the dinner table and say bring the Saindhava, that means the salt. But if the king of Sindh is a guest in your house and it's time for dinner and you say bring the Saindhava, that means the king, not the salt. Right? Yeah, so that's why you have to know the situation.
Can be both.
Or bring the salt for the king of sin. Right? But he's got his own salt. He's from sin. What do you want? Thus, the word gopi does not always mean Krishna's consorts. That's the point, is that there's so many gopis. And so that just like there's the elder gopis, right? And then you have the young gopis. But amongst the young gopis, some are Krishna's consorts and some are Balarams. So that's what's being pointed out here, so that we don't mix it up and think, you know, if it's all, it's the Supreme Lord, so what does it matter? No, it does matter. Gopyas chakar karnya mudita yashodhaya sutod bhavam. The gopi wives of the cowherd men were very pleased to hear that Mother Jashoda had given birth to a son. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.159. Gopyas turnam sama vetya jagrihur jata sam brahmaha. Gopis immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked Krishna up. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.18. Ruditam anu nish samya tatar gopyaha. Yashoda's friends, the other gopis, approached Mother Jashoda, hearing her pitiful crying. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.7.25. Oh. No, these are being put at the beginning, not at the end.
Maharaj, this is towards the end always.
Huh?
This is always towards the end.
But here, they're at the beginning.
No, they're towards the end only.
But there's only a period, and then there's the thing.
Exactly.
It should be the periods on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. Krishnasya gopyo ruchiram viksya kaumara chapalam. All the elder gopis saw the very attractive childish restlessness of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.28. It should not be thought that in the present context the gopis referred to are Krishna's gopis. Right? Because, in other words, it's showing that these are all Krishna, the elder gopis who have a parental rasa with Krishna. Similarly, in the fifth canto, 5.11.12-13, there are contiguous statements, verses 12 and 13, with the word kshetragya, but the word means jiva in the first instance and God in the second instance, right? Because the jiva is kshetragya because he is the knower of the field, meaning his body. But Krishna is kshetragya because he knows all bodies, right? So it's where, so that is where the points in philosophy, then arguments come up because of not understanding the context in which the word is used. So that's what Vyasadeva is pointing out in Vedanta Sutra, is how the words are being, the wrong context is being used by these different schools of philosophy, and therefore they come up with the wrong conclusion. The submersion of the earth during Swayambhuva's period was different from the submersion of the earth during the killing of Hiranyaksha, though the two stories are mixed. Right, because he's told two different stories together because they had a similar. Does that make sense? Like, let's say Ram, you know, going to Lanka, and so that happens every time. But then, how he did in this time will be different from how he did in the previous time. But because they're all Ramachandra's pastimes, if you told them both together, it doesn't matter. Because he did do those. It just, one was at one time, one was at another time. You know? Or let's say parents are talking about the kid. You know? And that, oh, he did this. And so they may be talking about this today, what they did. They may be talking about yesterday or a year ago. Or, and sometimes they'll mix the two because what he did now is something he did a year ago. So you'll put the two together. You understand? So there's not a problem in doing that, but he's trying to point out that it is done, you should know the difference. Like that. Right? So for us to know, the acharyas then pointed out, so that then we know. Thus, the gopis referred to by the word taha in the previous verse does not refer to the gopis mentioned in this verse because of the reasons previously mentioned. If they were, it would have created a scandal in Dwarka. What more need to be said? Now the present time is pastime is explained. Having completely consoled Krishna's dear gopis, he enjoyed with other gopis of Balaram's group, about whom Krishna joked during their Kaumara period. Right, so Krishna was friendly with Balaram's gopis and would joke with them as friends. Right, so with them it's the Sakya rasa. Right, but with Balaram then it's conjugal rasa. And Krishna's gopis is conjugal rasa with him, but their friendship rasa with Balaram. That's why there's not a problem in them talking about Krishna and Balaram together. Like that, because one is the lover, one is the friend. Like that. So there's not a difficulty. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, Balaram enjoyed with other gopis of Balaram's group about whom Krishna joked during their Kaumara period, foreseeing their future intimate relationship by saying, "You have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms." Right, so then Krishna is joking with Balaram. 10.15.8. These gopis mingled with Krishna's gopis during the events leading to the killing of Shankachuda and the Holika pastimes. Previously, they maintained their chastity by not associating with him. With the consent of Krishna, by his request, Balaram pacified his own gopis for 2 months. The word cha indicates a different subject. It was said in verse 1 that he went to Vraja desiring to see his friends. That was his principal aim. Secondarily, he enjoyed with his own gopis. He did this at night in a most secret way, far away on the bank of the Jamuna, for it was suitable for enjoying Ramaha. And he was Bhagavan. Thus, he enjoyed with many gopis. So during the day, he would be there with his friends and the parents, and then Krishna's gopis, and consoling everybody. And then at night, he'd be with his own gopis. Easiest thing, put your hand and then just walk on it. If you grab them, you might pull off the bed. Yes?
But it wasn't his principal reason for going, enjoying with his own gopis.
No, it's said by mentioning his friends. Desire to see his friends, that was his principal aim. Like that.
Right, but not going to enjoy the gopis.
He does many things at once, so it's not a problem. So, see, we have to be comfortable with both things can be going on. It's not that, it's just the friends and just the gopis are harassing him, so yeah, what to do?
I was just trying to understand.
Yes, you always get the thing is that it said here, the principal was to desire to see his friends. That was his principal aim. Secondarily, he enjoyed with his own gopis. Mm-hmm. So yes, so that's the thing. So that's there. He has his gopis, and so they do. Because the point is, but that's secret. That's why it can't be the primary. Because the other, he's there with everybody during the whole day. Mm-hmm. That's the primary. And then his gopis at night is there. But for Krishna, then his night time with the gopis, that's actually the primary aspect. And the aspects of the day are all supportive of that. So Balaram is the other way around. So, okay.
Those gopis.
Those means Balaram's gopis, yes.
The desire of all the living entities is to render devotional service to Krishna.
Right.
And they are prime meditation.
But they do that through Balaram. And at the same time as Balaram is the Supreme. In other words, everybody's worshipping the Supreme Lord. Now, whether you are worshipping the Supreme Lord in his original form as Krishna or in an expansion of Krishna, you still worship him.
So here we don't do too much distinction in this case.
Distinction meaning?
What we say.
Means they're absorbed in Balaram, and that's their rasa, and that's their position, just like someone may be absorbed in Dwarka or in Mathura or Vaikuntha or Ayodhya. That's their taste. That's where they serve Krishna in that particular form. So in this case, then they're serving Krishna's expansion as Balaram, like that. So it'll have a different flavor because Balaram sees himself as servant of Krishna. So then they're pleasing him by however he's performing his pastimes to please Krishna. So whether they see that direct connection with Krishna or not, that may be the particular individual. But the point is they're pleasing Balaram because then he's performing his pastimes to please Krishna.
Earlier this, when Krishna and Balaram are walking, when Krishna tells that the flowers wanting to touch your feet, Krishna is telling Balaram as supreme.
Yes,
and he's
praising. Because he's the elder brother. So. They're all doing that. He's the younger brother. So naturally, they respecting the elder brother. Yeah, because that's where the taste is. You know, because it's relationship, it's the taste.
Yes.
Him being God doesn't have a whole lot of taste because that's what you are.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole point. Unless you're interacting, then it doesn't matter. You know, it's just like, okay, you're in the human form of life, so are you rolling on the ground in ecstasy at that one? It's only when you interact with people, then you appreciate that. Like that. Somebody hands you a samosa. You have a hand. You can actually take the samosa and eat it. Right? Does that make sense? Well, if you were a turtle, you couldn't do that. You know. So it's an interaction that you appreciate. So he is the Supreme Lord, but, you know, that's kind of overrated. Right? It's the interaction with the devotees based on devotion that catches his attention. Because you have to remember, he's always God. We're trying to be God. That's why it sounds good. but we never, it never works out. But he always is and always will be. Right? So therefore, you know, you're talking about eternal. So you have to find something that's more interesting. So being God, he's Atma Rama. He's self-sufficient. He's happy with himself. But to expand that, then he expands his energies and interacts with his unlimited energies.
Yeah. I was thinking that we call rasa something, you know, relationship, only when it finds it and with Krishna. Otherwise, it's not a spiritual rasa. It's something else.
Mm-hmm. But if it ends with Vishnu, then it's spiritual. But the point is that you should keep it going. Because the point is that for us, then since Krishna is the goal, even if we're worshipping Vishnu, is to develop love for Krishna. So, like what you're saying, it's that for us, that's how it's going to end. But for some, worship of Vishnu is the end. You know, if they're from Vaikuntha, that's where they take it. Then they'll see Krishna as pastimes of Vishnu. Because they're seeing an opulence. So to be able to appreciate an opulence, then Krishna in lower Goloka performs these pastimes. And so that's an expansion of Mahanarayan. Does that make sense? But the Vrindavan pastimes, not Mathura Dwarka pastimes. Does that make sense? But it's still done with that aspect of Aishwarya. It's still Vaikuntha. So you have that aspect. So for them, that's what they're seeing. They don't know what's beyond. Because Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka are an expansion of Mahanarayan. So they don't know that Mahanarayan is an expansion of Baladev, who's an expansion of Krishna. That they don't know. So because of their focus on Aishwarya, they're not wrong in saying Krishna and Balaram are an expansion of Mahanarayan. Because they don't know sweetness as a viewpoint. So they won't understand that aspect. And there's no need, because they're already absorbed where they belong. Does that make sense?
Because here we see that the gopis, the Balaram's gopis, they have both direct relationship with Krishna as friendship, but also conjugal with Baladev, which
yes.
is no different, but simultaneously different.
Yes, yes.
So there's no conflict.
No, because they are worshipping the Supreme Lord, but they're just worshipping their deity is... the Supreme Personality of Servant or Godhead. So, in other words, from Balaram on down, all Vishnu Tattva are servants of Krishna.
Yeah.
Like that. They all have that mood of Vaikuntapati sees himself as a servant of Krishna. That's why when Mahavishnu made that arrangement that Krishna and Arjuna would come, because
yeah.
he wanted to see him, because, you know, generally it's an expansion of himself is playing the part of Krishna. But now it's the origin of him is playing Krishna. It is Krishna, but performing the pastime. So he wants to see, so he makes this arrangement so he can see. So he comes and he has the mood of service. Does that make sense? Yes.
In worshiping Tulsi, sometimes I hear devotees when they say, Vrindayai Tulasidhape Kisavasacha Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi.
Yeah, because that's what the shloka is.
Right. So some devotees would say, well, it would be more appropriate to say Krishna Bhakti Pradi Devi.
So why not say Braja Krishna Bhakti Pradi Devi, you know, Gopi Jana Vallabha Bhakti Pradi Devi. You know, it's just, what do they mean, but what's the difference? You know what I'm saying? They're making too much difference. So you have a prayer to offer obeisances to Vrinda Devi. Now, people in the Vaikuntha lines aren't worshiping Tulsi. What about the, you know, those who worship Lord Ramachandra? They all do. So here is the verse. Because the point is Krishna is the, that's what we mean. The personality of Godhead means Vishnu. The supreme personality of Godhead means Krishna. Right? So therefore, when we say Vishnu, then we think of Krishna. So yeah, it's one of those ones that you can go on forever fight arguing over. Sayan Amrita Pau or Sayan Amrita Cow. You know, it's things or the peacock feather, you know, like that. These are basically non-important discussions. You know, people make a whole scene out of it because then it gives them a position, it gives them, you know, it gets the bile moving, you know, gets that rice and dal digesting, you know, all that stuff happening. But it's not important. Point is Vishnu Bhakti, if you want to say Krishna, say it. But don't make a thing out of it that this is what everybody should say. That's a waste of time. Because Prabhupada gave us Vishnu Bhakti Prani Devi. That's what it says in the Shastra. So wherever that's from, that's what it says. If you look back at there, it says that. So the point is as long as it's Vishnu, then we're comfortable. So Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, in dealing with all the verses of the Samaveda that we would use in ritual, then he uses terms of Krishna that are connected with that, but it means that they're all, you could say, as such, Vishnu Tattva names. Like instead of Prajapati, is Prajapati Vishnu and all this. Does that make sense? So he just brings it so that you understand it's Vishnu. And so we understand that, that means Krishna. You know, it's just like, let us say, we're talking to let's say the Queen Mother, okay? And then somebody's talking to her and says, yeah, so the king told me, my son. Your son. So as we're going to, and then someone says, you know, you should do this for the king, my son. Is that cultured? There's no need. When they say the king, to her it means her son. So when we say Vishnu, it means Krishna. So we have to make this whole thing out of it. That means when you say Vishnu, it doesn't mean Krishna. So there's a good chance Krishna doesn't mean Krishna. In other words, Krishna means Vishnu. So in other words, when Vishnu means Krishna, then Krishna does not mean Vishnu. Right? But otherwise, those who fight over it, there's a good chance that it's going that other way. Right? Unless you're Padmalochan, then don't worry about it. He's in his own tattva. He's a Braj Basi, so we leave them alone. That's what Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami. Yes.
I don't know where it is, but there is a verse somewhere, or either Prabhupada said it, that we don't think of any other form other than Braj Krishna. We shouldn't worship or like him.
Yeah,
I think that's why the Vedas are doing that. Somebody told me that once.
Yes, but who is that? Point is if Krishna's telling the gopis, they're not separated because he's all-pervading, he's everything. That means they see everything as in connection with Krishna. They can tell the difference between a pot and Krishna. You know, so it's not that they catch Krishna and take him out in the back and put him on the ground and take a bunch of ash and start rubbing. You know.
He becomes white.
Yeah. His color won't come out, you know, yeah. So that's the point. There's a distinction. There's not a distinction. When there's too much emphasis on the distinction, no, we can't say Vishnu, we have to say Krishna, then it's already too far. That becomes impersonal because then we're not accepting that Vishnu is Krishna. You know, it's like saying, he's not the high court judge, he's my friend. But in reality, he's your friend and the high court judge. So if you make such a distinction, then how much of a friend are you?
You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know so much. The point is it's Krishna who's Vishnu. The gopis are complaining Krishna doesn't know how to take care of women because, as Ramachandra, he cut off Suparnika's nose. So they see it's Krishna who's Ramachandra. They don't make the difference. But they can tell the form is different, the pastime is different, but it's still the same person doing that. It's like a drama. You know, it's just like, let's say, you go to see a play that your a friend is playing a major role in. When they come out on stage, you don't shout out their name and, yeah, go get them, you know, Jack, you know, that guy. You know, stuff like everyone, huh? Who's Jack, you know? Does that make sense? Anyway. Jack Beth.
Balaam.
Sorry?
Balaam is the supreme personality of Sarvatamata. And he has his own set of gopis.
And he?
Has his own set of gopis.
Yes.
So because
he also has his own wives. He has all kinds of stuff.
So, so Balaam, he serves Krishna to give pleasure to Krishna, okay?
Yes.
Now the gopis that belong to Balaram are also serving Radha Krishna in the same mode as Balaram, because the master is serving, that means the gopis should follow the same.
They're serving him. How much they're involved in that service to them, but that's what makes it all work. Because the point is it's just like this. Do we ever hear a mention of the environment of Vrindavan in which, let's say, the parrots are sitting together and talking, or the bulls are, you know, snorting and fighting over the cows, or stuff like that? Do we hear things like that?
Not much. Sometimes.
Do we hear about it?
Yes, we do.
Okay, that's the answer. So, therefore, what does that do?
It adds to the environment.
It adds to the environment.
That's it.
Nothing more. I mean, yeah.
Why does it always have to use that? Yeah, nothing more. Yeah, that's just...
Okay.
It means it adds to the environment. The whole point is that's what it does. You know, Balaram, you know, takes care of all these things. So, therefore, it adds to that. So, if Balaram has his gopis, why won't that add to the atmosphere?
Mm-hmm. No, I was thinking in terms of that particular statement of...
Yes, everybody is, but the point is this: Balaram is Krishna, but it's a different personality. So they're worshipping a form of Vishnu. The point is the living entities all worship Vishnu. In fact, Vishnu worships Vishnu. So, you know, so therefore they're worshipping there. They don't go beyond. It's not that Sita Devi's worshipping Ram and thinking, well, actually then Krishna will be happy with this.
Got it.
Is that it?
We'll come ahead. Krishna meditating on himself.
Yeah. Krishna meditates on himself. Yeah, who else are you going to meditate on? Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. In the company of numerous women, Lord Balaram enjoyed in a garden by the Jamuna River. This garden was bathed in the rays of the full moon and caressed by breezes bearing the fragrance of night-blooming lotuses. The BBT purport mentions. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that Lord Balaram's conjugal pastimes took place in a small forest alongside the Jamuna, a place known as Ramagata, which is far from the site of Sri Krishna's rasa dance. Srila Jiva Goswami adds, by Balaram's will, the nights always had the full moon. Like that. So for others it may be this, but when he's out with his gopis, it's full moon where they are. Yeah.
His birth is also full moon.
Yes. But point is, this full moon's nicer. You can see where you're going. You don't trip over things. So if you're going to be out in the forest at night, then better a full moon, right? And a full moon looks nicer, it's attractive, all so many things. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, sent by the demigod Varuna, the divine Varuni liquor flowed from a tree hollow and made the entire forest even more fragrant with its sweet aroma. Wow, so Varuna sent it himself. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, the goddess of liquor, Varuni, was the daughter of Varuna. She was beyond this world, Devi, arising from the churning of the milk ocean. She was falling forth in streams from a hole in the trunk of a kadamba tree, Vriksha Kotara. According to Harivamsa, she said to him, I have been sent before you by my father Varuna, O sinless one. Sridhar Swami says that Varuni is a type of liquor distilled from honey. The Varuni made the forest even more fragrant than before. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The wind carried to Balaram the fragrance of that flood of sweet liquor, and when he smelled it, he went to the tree. There he and his female companions drank. Footnote 6. Because he was very thirsty, he went there and drank the liquor. He manifested special power, Balaha, and forcibly made the gopis drink it. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, but it means forcibly. It just means he would, by what he would say or encouraging or like this, he would make them drink. Otherwise, they weren't going to drink. Yeah. Yeah, oh, you mean the original battery? Yes, yes. Yeah, so all others of the world can take inspiration here. So, yeah. As the Gandharva sang his glories, Lord Balaram enjoyed within the brilliant circle of young women. He appeared just like Indra's elephant, the lordly Airavata, enjoying in the company of she-elephants. At that time, kettle drums resounded in the sky. The Gandharvas joyfully rained down flowers, and the great sages praised Lord Balaram's heroic deeds. As his deeds were sung, Lord Halayudha wandered as if inebriated among the various forests with his girlfriends. His eyes rolled from the effects of the liquor, intoxicated with joy. Lord Balaram sported flower garlands, including the famous Vaijayanti. He wore a single earring, and beads of perspiration decorated his smiling lotus face like snowflakes. Yeah, so you see is that this same kind of environment is described with Krishna, but it has a different flavor. So this now with Balaram, you see the mood's slightly different. It's because, you know, because his mood's different. He's verses 25 to 33. Angry Balaram drags the Jamuna. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. The Lord then summoned the Jamuna River so that he could play in her waters. But she disregarded his command, thinking he was drunk. This angered Balaram, and he began dragging the river with the tip of his plow. Footnote 7. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, she did not respect his words because she thought that the words of a drunk person had no authority. For this reason, she disregarded him and did not come, thinking, if he calls me, wanting to enjoy the water, then let him come to me. Right? Because you know, he's drunk, let him come over here. So, these are the, you know, flavors. But we see it, you know, Balaram works it out. Because he's just taking that mood. He's not actually drunk or intoxicated. It's just that mood. Because in other words, it's just the wonderfulness of the love of the devotees and all the arrangements. Then he manifests this manner of happiness. Well, Krishna doesn't generally use this one so much. Does that make sense?
At least this high quality intoxication, it has not been appreciated in the spiritual world.
It's not so much about the intoxication. The point is he's intoxicated with the tasting of the love of the devotees, but he manifests it as an intoxicated person. You know, it's just the anubhava that's there. You understand? So that's the whole point. And so it may have the form of that, but that's not the thing. So Balaram does that, you know, as a general thing. Krishna doesn't. You don't see him walking around with the gopis and doing that. Does that make sense? But it's not me. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.